and His penetrating gaze into our hearts, and for Your Spirit comes to complete the work that Jesus has accomplished, to bring it to us, to apply it to us, to work it within us. We long for the fullness of freedom from all of our sins, to be holy as You are holy. And so we ask that Your Spirit may use Your Word powerfully and in a convicting way to make us more and more like Jesus Christ in every way, and particularly as we focus upon our words in this sermon, in this Word of God, our words. And may You change our hearts so that the words that would come out of our hearts would be praiseworthy, would be excellent, would be honorable, would be full of truth, Your truth, and proclaiming Your truth and living by Your Word of truth. So we pray, bless Your Word and bless the preaching of Your Word to our hearing and to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together this morning to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you're following in our church Bibles this morning, that's page 1015. I'm going to read a few verses in 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 12. And then we're going to turn to a section of Proverbs chapter 12 and a little bit into chapter 13. As we consider Lord's Day 43 and the ninth commandment. First Peter 3, beginning at verse 8. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And then let's turn to Proverbs chapter 12. And if you're following in our church Bibles, this is page 536. And we'll start reading there at verse 13. Proverbs 12, verse 13, reading through 13, verse 5. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. From the fruit of his mouth a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of his mouth a man eats what is good, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. And so far the reading of God's holy word. We're looking at Lord's Day 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to turn in the back of the blue Psalter hymnals, page 55. And we have one question and answer there to read responsively. And this concerning the ninth commandment. Question 112. What is God's will for us in the ninth commandment?
God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name.
And so far, our confession. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all know that words are very, very powerful. That words spoken to somebody else or about somebody else can have a tremendous impact on their lives. A good word, a compliment, a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of assurance can truly, joyfully build up a brother or sister in the Lord. Maybe it's because they're having a bad day. Maybe they're doubting themselves. Maybe they're doubting the Lord. Maybe they're struggling with sin. Maybe they're sick. Maybe things that they had desired or planned, good things in their lives, haven't come to pass, haven't come to fruition, haven't worked out the way that they wanted them to, and so they're down. And you come along and you say, "Dear brother, dear sister, I love you. The Lord loves you. Don't despair. Don't be discouraged. You're blessed. Be assured. Be encouraged." And they're built up. Maybe it makes their whole year just by a few words. But likewise, on the other side, you can very seriously and sinfully and wickedly destroy somebody. Their reputation, their confidence, their assurance, just by a few words. We need to be very, very careful with our words. And in social media and with our devices, this sort of exacerbates both sides of this. On the one hand, you can use social media and texting and email and all those kinds of ways of communicating to really bless somebody, to really encourage them. Because you don't need to be in their physical presence all the time to be able to do that. You don't have to write out a card or a letter. You can do it very quickly and very easily. And sometimes it's just sending a Bible verse. I read this morning in my devotions, or I read this evening, or we read this together as a family for our devotions, and I thought of you. May this word of God comfort you. And that's it. That's all it takes. But then likewise the other side too. Because it's so easy and because that technology allows us to yet distance ourselves even further from the consequences that our word brings, we can destroy somebody in social media so easily. Gossip takes on new opportunities. And I don't mean that in a good way at all, of course. Because you can do something and that person maybe never finds out. And it doesn't even need to be spread by vocal word. So they don't even hear about it. It could be going on for a long time and they have no idea. We need to be careful because our words are powerful. Whether they are spoken or they are written or they are sent by a text or they are attached to some message or a picture, our words matter and they're very, very important and very, very powerful. And one of the biggest reasons why that's the case is because they come from the heart. Our words come from our hearts. So brothers and sisters, whatever's in your heart, it's going to come out in your words. And if you have love for your neighbor in your heart, that's going to come out in your words. If you have hatred for your neighbor, that's going to come out in your words. So once again, as we've seen through all the commandments so far, we cannot get by the ninth commandment. We can't keep the ninth commandment just with a couple of rules over our words. Like if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Well, that's fine so far as it goes, but it doesn't, of course, get to the heart. It doesn't change the heart. Peter says, when you're reviled, when you're insulted, don't do it back. But his grounding for that is something different than just if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. His grounding in that is he says in verse 8, finally, he's reaching back all the way to chapter 2, verse 5, for you yourselves are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And that portion of his letter reaches back to 1 verse 3, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus, by His Spirit, because of His resurrection from the dead, has caused you to be born again to a living hope. He's given you a new heart. So that out of that new heart, you would speak the truth. And you would love to speak the truth. And you would love your neighbor. And out of the love for your neighbor in your heart, you would speak. Not anymore in slavery to the lie. Because that's what Jesus has saved us from. He has freed us in His glorious freedom through His death and resurrection. He has freed us from the lie. So let us be people of truthful lips and tongues of the wise and the righteous who hate falsehood, as we read in Proverbs 12 and 13. Let us be people in Jesus Christ who love the truth and speak it. In verses 19 and 20 of Proverbs 12, we get a good summary there of what it means to be people of the lie. This is what Jesus has saved us from. Truthful lips endure forever. That's what Jesus has saved us unto. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. Lying, deceit, is slavery. It's not freedom. It's selfish to begin with, and we've looked at that slavery. Is it freedom for you to live by your selfish desires? It is not freedom. Our world says, yes, it is. Our sinful hearts say, yes, it is. If I can do what I want and say what I want, I'm free. And that's not true. It's not true. When you can say the truth, when you can speak God's word, when you can be in line, then what does Proverbs 12:20 say? If you plan peace, then you have joy. Then you have freedom. To be a liar is to be selfish. It's to be enslaved. And think about this and the lies that you have told in your lives. You have to try to remember all of them. And you have to remember who did you lie to? What lies did I tell? And to whom did I tell them? Because I need to remember, because I got to keep it all straight. When you're living in the lie and living for the lie, you have to keep all of that in mind or you're going to get trapped, you're going to get caught. And that's the greatest fear for the liar, to get caught and to get trapped in your own lie. So you've got to keep track of it. Imagine the stress of trying to keep through all of those things. And as you know, boys and girls, as well, when you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell more. Because somebody's going to ask you a question. You're going to get examined. Someone's going to pursue truth. Did that really happen? That was really what was said? Is that really what transpired? And now you need to add another lie in order to cover up the first one, and then a third one to cover up the first two, and so on and so forth. And the lie just keeps growing. The consequences of this is that you're not going to be trusted by others. And the reason for it all is, as Proverbs 12:19b says, the lying tongue is but for a moment. You're locked into the moment. Why do we lie? Why do you lie? Because you're in the moment. And you're in a tight moment, you're in a tight spot. And you figure the best way to get out of this is to tell a lie. The truth is not going to set me free in this moment. I'm going to tell a lie. But it's living in the moment. And that temporary escape is going to bring you all kinds of shame afterwards. Guilt afterwards. Broken relationships afterwards. Our catechism summarizes this commandment by beginning with what it says in the Scriptures. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. When you have to be in a court of law and you have to promise as a witness that you are going to be truthful, you promise, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that is a very, very wise summary of what a witness needs to do in a court of law. You tell the truth. That is, what are the facts of the case? What are the true answers to the questions that are being raised? You're going to tell the whole truth. That means you're not going to leave out important details. You're not going to leave things out of the story. And you're going to tell nothing but the truth. You're not going to add things in that don't belong there. You're not going to exaggerate. You're not going to bring in different opinions and so forth that might color the thing differently than what actually happened. Now here again we can say, well, as long as I am truthful in courts of law, I have kept the ninth commandment. Well, our catechism, of course, goes on to say more things. The Bible says more things as well. So Proverbs 12, verse 17b says, a false witness utters deceit. Proverbs 17:15 says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just are both an abomination to the Lord. So even if you get away as a witness in court, the Lord still knows the heart. Don't be a false witness against your neighbor. Satan is an accuser like this. He's a false witness against us. And he does it every time he tempts you. When he tempts you to doubt the Lord, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. God has forgotten you. And none of those things are true. He's bearing false witness. Bearing false witness against Jesus. And he's bearing false witness against you. Jesus was accused this way. You remember, they set up the two false witnesses. They couldn't agree on their story. Because there was no truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth that those witnesses could tell, because they were bringing false charges against Jesus. But there he sat silently, being insulted and not insulting back, being lied about and not opening his mouth for defense, so that he, who could have mounted every defense against the lie, would be condemned by the lie, so that we who should be condemned for our lies are set free in the truth. You see, he took our place even in this commandment. Don't bear false witness. The catechism goes on to say, twist no one's words. Satan does this also. You remember Matthew 4 and Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Jesus quoted the Bible. And he didn't skip words when he quoted it, but what did he do? He twisted the meaning of those verses. He brought them out of context, and he misapplied them, and he did it very artfully. And Jesus saw right through, said, it is written to all three of those temptations. He knows it. Proverbs 4:24 says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Well, how do we do this? Let's say you have a conversation with somebody and then you're talking to somebody else about it later. Or maybe you're even talking to the same person later about a previous conversation. And then you say something like, well, you said, and even if you quote exactly the words that were said to you, but you do it with a different tone, or you say it maybe sarcastically, you're still twisting the meaning of that person's words. And that's just it. You know what those words intended to mean in the first place. And now when you're communicating those words again, either to the same person or to somebody else, but you emphasize a certain word or you twist them in your tone of voice or maybe even just with your facial expressions, you can take that phrase or those words and make them mean something they were never intended to mean. And you have borne false witness against your neighbor. You've taken something with a clear intention and you've made it mean something very different for your own purposes. Gossip, then, is mentioned by the Catechism. This is committed by the speaker and by the hearer. It's committed by the speaker when you say untrue things about a neighbor in their absence. They're not around. They're not there to give a defense for themselves and bear a witness about what was said or done. When you retell things about which you are uncertain, well, I think this is what happened. I think this is what the person said. I think this is what the person did. But you don't know. That's hearsay. That's gossip. Or when you suspect something to be the case, but you speak about it as if it is absolutely true. Someone comes and asks you, why did so-and-so do that? Well, I don't know for sure, but I suspect it's for this and this and this. And now you take that person's reputation and you tarnish it. You take a beautiful reputation and you rub dirt all over it because you think you know, but you don't know. You haven't spoken to the person. You're not clear. You're reading things. You're reading into things, but you're speaking about it as if it is absolutely true. Or when we tell true things about our neighbor, but they are things that we shouldn't be telling. Somebody confides in you a secret, something that isn't to be shared. And then you're talking to somebody else, and you say, oh, you know what? I was just talking to so-and-so about the same kind of thing, and you divulge the whole thing. That's gossip. And you ruin their reputation. You break confidence. Someone who gossips is not to be trusted and won't be trusted. The tongue of the wise brings healing, Proverbs 12:18 says, but a gossip does not. In verse 23 of Proverbs 12, we also read, a prudent man conceals knowledge. So someone confides in you, conceal it. Unless a crime's being committed or somebody's going to be in danger or in harm. But otherwise, keep confidence. The heart of the fool proclaims folly. The heart of the fool has loose lips, so let those things go and gossip. But gossip is also committed by the hearer. How does gossip usually start? Something like this. So did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about so-and-so? And our ears perk up. What? What is it? Because we're about to be served up a plate of juicy, tasty, savory gossip. And we love it. We want it. So a neighbor's name gets damaged. A reputation gets tarnished. But Psalm 15, verse 3 says, do not take up a reproach against your neighbor. Now this is hard. How do you do this? How do you tell somebody, I don't want to hear it, without being rude? Without doing something against the person who's talking to you. I don't have an easy answer for you, but we need to do it. We're not doing it. I don't do it. It's hard to do. But why do we get excited about that? Why does that entice us? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And it's something we ought not to do. To put away even the hearing of gossip and hearsay. And think about it this way as well. As hard as you might try afterward, after the juicy bit of gossip has been told in your hearing, do you really still think the same of the person that was gossiped about? Or do you think less of them? Can you maintain in your own mind, in your heart, the same level of love and respect and friendship for that person as you had before that thing was told you? Or now do you look at them a little bit differently? I think you look at them a little bit differently. We lose respect, or we lose love, or we maybe look a glance, askance at somebody now where we used to not before. Our perspective has changed because of what we have listened to, and we're at fault for that. Then our catechism mentions slander, which is different than gossip, because gossip happens when your neighbor's not there. Slander happens when your neighbor's there, or maybe it's right even to your neighbor's face. And sometimes this is just angry words. And not necessarily shouting. Angry words aren't always shouting words, although sometimes they are. But angry words. Words that basically say, I hate you, I despise you, I look down on you, I don't value you. Words like sword thrusts in Proverbs 12, like daggers, jabs, this and this and this and this. Intended to harm, intended to hurt, intended to pierce. But not because we love the person, not because we're eager for you to I'm not eager for you to change and get better and be blessed. I want to make my point. I want to be the better person in this. I want to be seen as the right one. So here are my sword thrusts. And maybe not with angry words, but maybe with sarcasm. Maybe with subtle digs. Maybe it's snide remarks, or maybe just by making fun of somebody. You ever do that, boys and girls? It's probably been done to you. Someone calls you a name, says something about your clothes, makes you feel bad, but you've done it too. We can do that. And there's the person standing there, and we're all laughing, feeling good about ourselves, and making that person feel nothing, feel miserable, feel this big. And we gloat over it in our own hearts. Look at what I've done and accomplished. So verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 12, these sword thrusts, these rash words, and often our slander, brothers and sisters, is rash. We say it without thinking. It's instinctive. Why? Because it comes out of the heart. And then lying, sort of a catch-all. Verse 22 of Proverbs 12. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Again, why do we lie? Sometimes we're protecting ourselves from trouble. We're living in that moment. You got caught, boys and girls. You broke something at home. Did you do that? Nope. Or you had a fight with your brother or your sister. Okay, what's going on? I didn't do anything. Not me, Tim, Ter, I didn't do it. To get out of the moment, right? You're trying to protect yourself. You can see trouble coming on the horizon. Punishment's coming from mom and dad. You've been warned about this 17 times already today, so now finally the patience is going to be wearing thin. I got to get myself out of this. So you lie. Maybe it's to a police officer when you get pulled over for speeding. You know why you're being pulled over? No, officer, I have no idea. Yes, you do. Just be honest. But what are you doing? You're panicking. You're panicking in the moment. I got to get out of this. How can I do it? The truth is not going to set me free, so I'm going to choose to lie. Maybe you do it to entertain people, like a fear of man kind of a thing, just to be funny. Maybe to make a story bigger than it really was so you can look good in front of people. Or maybe it is really to hurt somebody else. Perhaps you've been a victim of such kind of slander or gossip. It's very malicious, and it was intended to hurt you. And maybe you've been the perpetrator of that too. Because you despise somebody, you fabricate a story and you get that spread around. You know which people to send it to, and so you get it out there. This person, I'm going to get back at this person through these means. Very indirectly, very cowardly. But this is a terrible slavery, to always be on guard in your words so that you're not getting trapped. And to be known as a person who is a liar. I've said this, I think, twice already now this morning, but you're not going to be trusted. People don't trust liars. People don't trust gossips, slanderers. You worried about or think about, how come I don't have deeper relationships with people? I don't quite understand. Well, look at how you use your words. If your lips are flapping all the time, then people probably aren't confiding in you and they don't want to get too close because they're concerned if they tell you something too personal or you find out too much about them, everybody's going to know. A liar is not going to be trusted. And then deceit of any kind. Verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 12. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. Sometimes our deceit is kind of a passive-aggressive kind. Oh, sure, I'll watch your kids anytime. Drop them off. I'd love to have them. And then they come over and you're grumbling later about the inconvenience or the lack of discipline in the children, or I can't believe this, or they said they'd be back at this time and it's a half hour later. My patience is done. So you really weren't joyfully doing it, were you? Or how about, yes, I'll help you out. No problem. Maybe it's moving, or maybe it's a project in the house. Maybe it's on the farm. Sure, I'll help you. I'll come over. And you go and you help, and then you go back home and, well, honey, how did that go? You helped so-and-so today. How did that go? Oh, man, you wouldn't believe how stupid that guy was. You wouldn't believe how he was doing that thing. I would never do something that way. Totally unorganized. No wonder he needed help. We should have had 7 more guys or something like that. So is your heart in it for the person or is it in it for you? Why are you doing it? Or how about flattery? We deceive people through flattery. When we build them up, we say all kinds of nice things about them, but we don't mean a single word of it. So gossip we do behind someone's back. We say things behind their back that we wouldn't say to their face. Flattery, you say things to their face that you'd never say behind their back. Because you don't believe it's true. Oh, you're so good at this, or oh, you're this and that, but you don't mean it. Flattery. Or how about exaggeration? Exaggeration's a good one. It's one we're all guilty of. The way some of us talk sometimes, you'd think that when you miss that event that's being described to you right now, you miss the world. You miss the whole thing. Is it really the worst day ever? Are your parents really the worst parents ever? Is your teacher really the worst teacher ever? Do things never go well for you? Is it never going to get better? Is it always this hard? Is it always so terrible? Does that person always do this? Always say that? Never, 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 never. And always, 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 always. I don't know how do we do this? We bounce from all of these extremes. Life is not really that way. We get excited, and we get down, and we go back and forth between those things. That's true. But speaking in these absolutes, exaggerating stories, exaggerating your abilities, exaggerating your accomplishments, it truly is unbelievable, isn't it? It is. It is unbelievable. We could guard our speech far more in that regard. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. And then in Proverbs 13, verse 5, the righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. So what are we called to do in light of all of this? Very simply, repent of our sins, of our words. Repent. You were called, says Peter in 1 Peter 3, verse 9. You were called. out of this. Along with all your other sins, you're called out of sin, but at a great cost, the cost of your Savior, Jesus Christ, the cost of one who was slandered, insulted, gossiped about. The Pharisees were whispering about Jesus and talking about Him behind His back. Jesus was lied about and He was lied to. And Peter says, quoting from Psalm 34, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil." The face of the Lord is against us if we will live in the slavery of this sin of lying. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that the face of the Lord is turned not against us, but toward us, for us, that the face of the Lord shines on us. Because Jesus died for these sins too and set us free. John 8:32 says, "The truth will set you free." And John 14:6, Jesus says, "He is the truth." So the truth will set you free. Jesus will set you free. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, and He will set you free to speak the truth, to love the truth. If truth is in your heart, you will love the truth. And if you love the truth, you will speak it. And there's so much freedom in the truth, boys and girls and brothers and sisters. God is a God of truth. So truth in the heart is the freedom to know God and to love God and to serve God, and to worship God. The truth gives you a clear conscience. And loving the truth means you're not afraid of getting caught in a lie. When you speak the truth to people and about people, how can you get caught up in a lie? You can't if you've spoken the truth. You can go to sleep at night with a clear conscience. In our verses here as well, in Proverbs chapter 12, 14a, the fruit of his mouth, a man is, from the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good. Verse 17, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence. Verse 19, truthful lips endure forever. If the lie keeps you in the moment, you're only living for the moment, truthful lips, they live forever. Are you living for forever? Are you living for eternity? Are you living to be a servant of the Lord, not just now, today, or in this moment, but forever? Love the truth and speak it. Ephesians 4:15 is usually translated, "speak the truth in love," but the Greek actually says, "truthing in love." Your whole lives, because speaking the truth, we don't just do that with our words and our lips, but we can also speak the truth or convey the truth with our eyes, with our facial expression, with our body language, with the tone of our voice, not just the actual words. Truthing in love. Let your whole being, your whole person, all your behavior be about the truth of God's Word. If you take Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just," you know that list. All right. "Then whatever is true and whatever is honorable and whatever is just and whatever is pure and whatever is lovely and whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or anything praiseworthy," not just think about these things, as Paul says it, but have those things in your heart so that you can speak the truth. You can speak honorable things. You can speak praiseworthy things, and then speak the truth. Speak the truth to yourself. "I'm worthless." No, God says you're worth the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I'm useless." No, God's Word says every member in the body of Christ has a part to play. "I'm lost." No, you're found, says God's Word. "I'm overwhelmed. My grace is sufficient for you," God says. "I am forgotten. I will never leave you nor forsake you," says Jesus Christ. "I cannot bear my sin. Come and enter my rest," says the Lord Jesus Christ. "My burden is light, my yoke is easy." Speak the truth about yourself. "I'm not beautiful." There's a beauty of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. It radiates in beauty that is far beyond what the physical appearance can give. "I'm not strong." When you're weak in Christ, then you are strong. "I'm not capable," or "I'm not, I'm not, I'm not," whatever the thing is. The lies of the devil, the lies of the world, the lies of your own sinful heart that rise up and they accuse you. Speak the truth from God's word to your own soul. Speak the truth about other people. Emphasize their strengths. Emphasize God's gifts and blessings in their lives. Emphasize the ways that you are blessed through them. And speak a word of encouragement. Speak a word of assurance to a brother or sister. Build them up. Speak the truth to others. So when they're going through that whole list of things that they are not, bring them God's word. Remind them again of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are so loved, dear brother, dear sister. Jesus, who is the truth, suffered the lie to save you from your sins. His precious blood purchased you. He has a place prepared for you in the new heavens and the new earth. He holds eternal life for you. He intercedes at God's right hand for you. His Spirit is with you to bear your burdens with you. You are not alone. Build each other up. Let's speak the truth as witnesses of Jesus Christ as well. So not just to our neighbors, but to the world. One of the greatest detriments to evangelism, to bringing people in, to discipling the nations, is the words that Christians speak. And whether that's vocally, could be in a conversation that you're having with your friends over coffee or over lunch that somebody else at another table listens to and they hear it. And they know, I know those people go to church. But if that's how they talk, I don't want anything to do with it. If that's what they talk about, if that's how they talk about each other, I don't want anything to do with the church. Or you read online comments, I've said a number of things about that too. That's a real study in human depravity. And people come on there, and they throw some Bible verses in, and then they proceed to tear people apart on the forum. Bad witness for Jesus Christ. You know what everybody's thinking? They're not even listening to what's being, or they're not even paying attention to what's being written there. All they're getting is a tone. And they don't like the tone, because it's not a godly one. And it just says, we Christians are better than all of you. And the unbelievers of the world, because of those kinds of words and that poor witness, they want nothing to do with Christ and the church. It's not the case all the time, but it happens a lot. You have an opportunity every day to be a good witness, and your words are so important in that witness. Do your words testify of a heart that has been transformed by the gospel of grace? Do your words testify of the working of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ transforming you from the inside to form godly words, words of the righteous that hate falsehood? Guard and advance your neighbor's good name. Show honor and respect when you speak to others and when you speak about others. Say nothing to anyone that you wouldn't say when the person is there. And live without the shame of speaking against someone. And if someone has sins or faults or shortcomings and you really want to deal with them in love, then go and talk to that person. Let's rejoice in the truth, because love rejoices in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13. We have such freedom in Jesus Christ to use our words for good and for His glory. And when the saving grace of Jesus Christ transforms the heart, and out of the heart comes new words, then all of a sudden your words are like crystal clear water, refreshing. Or like salt that adds savor to a delicious meal. Or like the cheering on of a friend in a race or in a game. Go get them. Do well. Press on. You build up your brothers and sisters and refresh their courage and help them. Or your words can be like a strong hand that you stick out to grab the hand of someone else who's fallen in the mud Let me help you up. Let me lift you up. Let me bear you up. Let me speak to you in a way that helps take the dirt off so you can know you're good, you're right, you're well. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, let's be Proverbs 12:26 people. People who are righteous and a guide to our neighbor. Let's be Proverbs 13:2 people. From the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good. And we can be, but we can only be in the Lord Jesus Christ, transformed by his Holy Spirit.